All right, well, let's turn over to the book of Galatians. Shane is going to share next week, but it won't be about the book of Galatians because tonight we're going to finish the book of Galatians. So I hope that y'all had nowhere to be in a hurry. No, I'm just kidding. We are going to finish it, and it's going to be awesome, and this will be the 21st week, 21 weeks going through the book of Galatians, and it's been awesome. I have so enjoyed it, and it's so practical, and we're about to get into some other aspects of it, you know, practically. So Galatians chapter 6, and we spent the first, we looked through the first six verses, but let me just again set the stage if you didn't get to listen to this. So he's talked about the difference between the law and grace. Don't let anybody else talk you into trying to keep the law, but you need to live by grace, because if you try to go to keeping the law, one, you are under a curse. Not that you will be, you are under a curse. And he's very strong about that. Two, he says, Christ will profit you nothing. So all the benefits, everything that's available to you in Christ, in the kingdom, will not, you will not experience you. It will not help you because you've decided that you want to live according to another system, or you want a system of works to be evident in your life. And so what happens is when you choose to live according to a different system, you're going to reap or you're going to reap the benefits of that system. It would be just like Shane, you know, the laws in South Africa where he lives are different than the laws here in the United States. But while he is here in the United States, those laws apply to him. If he makes a decision to move to the United States, he is choosing to submit himself to the laws and to the consequences that come from those laws. He says, I'm going to now live, me and my family, under this system of government. And so everything that you know, he can't choose which laws he wants to obey. He can't say here, you know, well, in South Africa, we drive on the left side of the road. You know, so I just want to do that because that's the way I feel that I should. He can't bring that law with him, you know, in this nation, because it will lead to destruction. You know, so we drive on the right side of the road. They drive on the wrong side of the road. And so, so you don't, what'd you say?
Take us deeper, Papa.
Oh my God. You don't even want to know. It's not time for that yet. You know, I have banned people from the front row before. It's awesome. So my point is you can't just pick and choose like, okay, well, I believe I need to live under this law of the old covenant while I'm a Christian, because this will please God, or I've got to do it this way. I can't, or I'm not going to just focus on the Ten Commandments, you know, in my life, and the do nots and that sort of thing, because the moment that you start trying to live under that system, you are now making yourself subject to all the laws, to all the consequences, to all of that. And so you've just taken yourself out from under the grace of God. That's why the Bible says in Galatians that you've fallen from grace. And so we don't want to do that. And so we're going to get into that some more here in just a moment. But then he goes on, and in chapters 5, we talked about standing fast in the liberty with which Christ has made us free. We don't want to be out of our grace zone. We want to be in the grace zone. We want to experience all of the kingdom and all the benefits that come from the kingdom. Praise God. And so we stand fast in that liberty, and we take hold of that. And then he starts talking about now the works of the flesh, which is different than the works of the law. Now he starts talking about what you have to deal with on a daily basis, the works of the flesh versus living by the Spirit or the walk of the Spirit. And this is where we are right now. because we can choose to live according to our flesh. Has nothing to do with the law. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. And the Bible says in James chapter 1 that every man is tempted or tested when he is drawn away of his own lust or his own desires. And those are things that happen in our flesh. Sometimes, you know, and I use this example all the time, somebody cuts you off in traffic and there is a work of the flesh that begins to want to rise up. You know, as it relates to that person, you want to be angry, or maybe there's family members that you're envious or jealous of, or people at work. And so you deal with relationships that you have a choice of whether you're going to deal with those out of the Spirit. And when you make the choice to walk in the Spirit, you will develop, or you will experience the fruit of that walk, the fruit of the Spirit. But if you choose to handle it according to the flesh, then you're going to experience the results of the flesh. And so he starts out here in chapter 6 about our relationship with one another and saying, if you find somebody that's taken, you know, overtaken in a fault, then we need to restore them. And I'm not going to re-preach that except to say that he's dealing with relationships. And I want you to see the context, because we're about to deal with verses of Scripture that are lifted out of its context, and not necessarily wrongly, but we need to understand, and I'd like to really focus on the whole thought that Paul is talking about here. Okay, so we're about to talk about seed time and harvest, or sowing and reaping. And most of the time, sowing and reaping, if you've been around, you get to hear it. What subject is it relating to?
Money.
Most of the time you hear about it relating to money. You know, preachers are really good about talking about seed time and harvest as it relates to money. But, you know, in the context of this chapter, that's really not the focus, although it can be applied to that. Okay, so we're going to talk about those things. All right, so here he is. He's talking about our relationships, restoring one another. Verse 5, let every man bear his own burden. Let every man prove his own work. And then verse 6, which I ended with last week, let him that is taught in the word communicate to unto him that teaches in all good things. The Amplified says, let him who receives instruction in the word of God share all good things with his teacher, contributing to his support. Now, here he is talking about money. Paul said, if I've imparted to you spiritual things, then it's right for me to receive out of your natural things. This is a way that we share with one another. This is a way we help one another. And so a heart to help and a heart to live by the Spirit is a giving, generous heart. Amen. And so as it comes to money, and I'm not going to rehash last week, I said some things that were pretty bold and pretty strong about those things. So you should go back and look at it. But the point is where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so where your money goes tends to show what your priority is, and whether your priority is your own self-centeredness and your own flesh, or is the priority the kingdom and also helping others. Amen. So check it out. Verse 7, let's get into this. Be not deceived. Say, I won't be deceived. Do not be deceived, and the Amplified says, and deluded and misled. God is not mocked. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Now, let's talk about sowing and reaping for a moment. Let me, without going to all the scriptures, because I have a goal, and that's to finish today. So, at the very beginning, I want you to see that seed time and harvest, number one, is not a work. It's not a work of the flesh. It's not a work to try to get God to do something. It's not that. Okay? And how do I know that? It is a eternal principle that God set up for us to live out of, because even before Adam fell, if you'll look at Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, he talked about the herb bearing seed. He talked about that. Well, I am going to turn there and look at it because I want you to see it. Genesis chapter 1 I just don't want to misquote it. As he's creating the earth, he said, let's see here. In verse 11 of Genesis 1, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. So one of the eternal principles that existed before the law and that existed before sin entered into the world is seed time and harvest, that everything would produce after its own kind and that the seed would be in itself. And so nothing would reproduce, nothing would duplicate, nothing would grow and multiply without seed. Amen. So this is one of the most basic things. The reason why we are born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. We are, Jesus, you know, in Genesis 3, 15 and 16, said he is the seed of woman that would then produce. He's also the promised seed to Abraham. He's also the seed of David. He's the seed that was the corn, if you will, that was buried in the ground that then produced the harvest of all of us. Amen. Seed time and harvest. At the end, when the flood came, and when Noah, after that, as the rainbow filled the sky, and as they were worshiping God and building an altar to God, God said, as long as the earth remains, there remains seed time and harvest. So the first thing I want to establish is that seed time and harvest is a principle that the Lord set up even before we were created. Okay, and so let's not relegate it to a works mentality, and let's not relegate it to a law mentality, because as we receive the grace of God and who he has created us to be, oh man, this is so awesome. I just got this amazing picture all of a sudden. Thank you, Jesus. Man, think about this. Turn with me over to Genesis chapter 3. Here we go, Jeff. You ready? In Genesis chapter 3, in verse 17, to Adam, God said, because you've hearkened unto the voice of your wife, and you've eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. He says, for that reason, cursed is the ground for your sake. This is when the curse came in, that through Adam and Eve, that sin entered into the world, a curse entered in, and he said, because you disobeyed me, now the ground is cursed. Now look at this. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In sorrow you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face shall you eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you are taken, and for dust you are, and unto dust you shall return. And so here we have that up to this point, that seed time and harvest was easy. It was effortless. It was already created, that the ground was there for it to produce abundantly, and for there to be, there was no curse. And so he says, but now you're going to have to work. You're going to have to plow. You're going to have to do all of this, and you're going to have to work that seed, work that ground, work all of those things. And sometimes it's going to just produce thistles and thorns and all of that kind of stuff. And you know, if you've ever been a farmer and had to deal with the ground, you know, if you leave ground untilled, unplanted, if you want to call it that, and just let it to itself, what you're going to end up with? Weeds, thorns, stuff that you don't want, because there's seed that's always going into it, and it just, the world just naturally has bad seed. That's okay. It's all right now. Anyway, now here's the beautiful thing. So I want you to see that the original picture in the garden was for seed time and harvest to happen without effort, without toil, without work, that it just produced. Why? Because everything was in a perfect state. Everything had been decreed by the Word of God. Okay? Now, what has happened is that God has caused us to be born into a new kingdom. We are now the offspring or the children of last Adam, and we have now, the curse has been removed from us. We have now been put back into a state where everything that we do is blessed, where everything that we put our hand to is blessed, that every time that we sow seed, that it just automatically produces after itself, that we've got the blessing. Somebody say the blessing. This very same blessing that was on Abraham. How powerful was the blessing that Abraham had on his life, and then it was handed down to his son Isaac? Well, the Bible says that Isaac lived in a land and there was a famine in the land, and everybody, I mean, they tried to sow. They were under the curse, but Isaac himself had a hedge about him because the blessing of God was on him. God himself was his protector. God himself was establishing that everything that he did would be blessed. And so while the whole region had no crops and the whole region dealt with the famine, it said Isaac sowed in that land. He planted seed in that land. And in the same season, the same year, he received 100-fold. Is that because he did everything right? Nope. Is that because he was keeping the law perfectly? Nope. Because he didn't have no law at that time. The blessing of God, the favor of God, can I even say the grace of God on his life, caused him to walk in a realm of ease, walk in a realm of protection, walked in a realm of favor everywhere they went. It just was supernatural on him. Wouldn't you just like to be in a place that everywhere you go, whatever you do, the favor of God is on you and you're walking? It's like now it's not about trying to get to Eden. Eden is in you. And so you are a walking Eden of God. And everywhere you go, it just flourishes. It just, life is there. It's just ease. It's what God originally intended for original creation. And see, so many times we're still trying to get to a place, try to get to this, try to hope for favor, pray for this, instead of recognizing the very kingdom of God is in us and the blessing of God is on us everywhere we go. Abraham didn't have something that we don't have. Isaac wasn't blessed beyond something that we're trying to reach that. No, we go beyond that because we have Jesus himself, the kingdom himself on the inside of us. And we must, but you'll never walk in that and you'll never experience that if you don't start seeing yourself that way. Oftentimes the reason that people aren't generous with their giving and things like that is because they don't see themselves as blessed. They don't view themselves as having the blessing of God on them that empowers them to give. So now to give 10% or to give something like that, they see it as they're losing something, not that they are blessed to be able to do it. See? What if Isaac said, there's a famine in the land. There's a famine in the land. It's all dry, and so I can't afford to, you know, I need to eat this seed. That I need to take the seed that's in my hand, and I'm just going to use it for my family. And a lot of times Christians are eating their seed because they see famine instead of taking their seed because they see blessing. Wow, don't shut me down for good preaching now. We're in a different realm. Now, let's go back to Galatians 6. All right, so we establish here that God established seed time and harvest from the very beginning. And so it's not a work, it's just the kingdom. There are things and there are principles and there are kingdom laws that just work. And there's ways to receive out of the kingdom into our natural lives. And so I'm not going to spend the whole time talking about all of that. But I want you to see, so that I can make some good effort here, that as we go through, he says, for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. We're back in verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. He will not allow himself to be mocked. We're talking about now as a principle, something that God decreed from the foundation of the earth. So it's still in operation. Okay? God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that, the Amplified says, and that only is what he will reap. Now, verse 8, check it out. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. This is so important because we've just been talking about personal relationships. We've just been talking about in chapter 5, works of the flesh versus living in the Spirit. And so now he's expounding on that and to say, and saying, listen, you have a choice. You can sow to your flesh. You can empower your flesh. You can deal with things in the flesh. So I'm going to talk about this from a couple of different angles for a few moments. Because if we give attention to the flesh, if we focus on the flesh, if we feed the flesh, then what we're going to do is we're going to reap the destructive consequences that come from the flesh. So if I, in my relationship with Jennifer and in our marriage, if I respond to her out of the flesh, if I just get mad at her because she didn't iron my clothes, but that never happens. I iron my own clothes. But if I just got mad at her, and she agrees with that, she's, you know, but if I got mad at her because I expected her to iron my clothes or do something for me or just whatever, and just started just, you know, yin-yang and then, you know, trying to, you know, give her the silent treatment or what all that is. What is all that? I'm sowing in this relationship. I'm operating according to the flesh. Many of you really maybe don't know just how Jennifer really is. She would not respond in a sweet, nice, quiet way. Somebody said she may lay hands on me suddenly. The response, you know, would probably be an instant harvest of corruption. I was sowed to the flesh. I would of the flesh reap corruption. But if a husband and wife, if they continue to be angry, continue to be mad, continue to be in strife, continue to allow those works of the flesh to happen, ultimately what will happen if they don't stop it, it can end in the dissolving of the marriage. It can end in destruction. Why? Because we're sowing to the flesh. Okay? You can do that in your job. You can do that with other, you can do that in the church. You can respond to people out of your flesh. You know, you can, it's so easy for us not to be encouraging one another. That's why he starts off by saying we need to lift up one another. We need to, in our relationships. Hold your finger here and let's turn to Luke chapter 6, verse 38. How many, does anybody know what Luke 6:38 says off the top of their head? Anybody? Give and it shall be given unto you. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. How is that often preached? Money. Money. We're going to give. Come on, make sure you give your best gift. And it'll be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Amen. That's come on, let's be honest. How many of you that's the way you've heard it? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. So let's just let's go back and let's make sure that we find the context on this. Verse 35. But love your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind and unthankful to the evil. So be ye therefore merciful as your Father is merciful. Let me just say this. Notice that he is not giving you a prescription for something to do to get a result. He is actually talking to us based on who we are and our new nature. So important that you get this. We are merciful to people. Why? Because our Father is merciful. And so we have His likeness. We have His character. We have His nature. And so we get to respond the same way. We get to do good because God does good. God causes the rain to come down on the just and the unjust. God is loving to all. People receive the fruit of their own efforts and their own sin or whatever, but God's not the one that's causing that to happen. So we get to be like God and like Jesus was when they brought him the woman with the caught in adultery, right? And so they wanted to stone him. The legalists wanted to stone her. I mean, and asked him, "What should we do?" He responded in love. He responded in grace. He responded in a way to lift her up, to help her out of her situation. He is the will of God in action. And so here we get to love our enemies, but not only love them from a distance, we've got to also do good to them. Amen. Yeah. So much easier to love from a distance. Do good, lend, hoping. Be merciful, your Father. But then look at verse 37. Judge not, and you'll not be judged. Condemn not, you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. I think what we're hearing here a little bit is what you sow, you will also reap. Yeah. Give, verse 38. See, in the context, he is talking about your interpersonal relationships with other people. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you measure to other people, is what he's saying, that it'll be measured back to you again. If you think it's okay to be a jerk to people, and just to act that way, and it's just okay, you know, and to treat people, you know, kind of despitefully, and just kind of treat, you know, and you feel like that you're better than them, and you treat them that way, and you just are judgmental and condemning and that sort of thing, you're going to reap the same result in your life. You are sowing to your flesh, and you're going to reap that. You're going to reap that from other people. Yeah. It's a law of the kingdom. So how do you want people to treat you? How do you want people to see you? See, I used to, the way that I used to joke around with my friends and our family and stuff, we were just very sarcastic. Just very sarcastic. But our sarcasm was in cutting each other down. Cut my brothers down, cut my friends down. We'd always see who could get the best zinger, you know, who could just cut you down the most. You know, and that's just the way that our relationships, it's the only way we could joke. And so I had really developed a lifestyle of just cutting people down and being negative. And didn't realize what was happening. And so it finally got to the point that at some point, some of the things that they were saying to me was really hurtful. It's like, now that actually goes a little bit too deep. That actually kind of cuts to the heart a little bit. And I got really mad about that. And I thought, man, I think I'm going to sit down and tell them that they're really hurting my feelings. Oh, poor me, right? But you know what the Lord showed me? He said, you do the same thing to them. You know, this is the way that y'all joke, and they may not know any better. So he took me over to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, that says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good to the use of edifying, to building somebody up, that it may minister grace to the hearer. Okay, now that's a clear prescription for the child of God that we need to only speak the things that build people up, that we don't need to speak things that tear people down. I don't care if you're joking or not. It doesn't say, except if you're only joking. Except if you are. No, what he's talking about here, if you read Matthew 5's version of this, it actually says that be ye therefore, after he talks about loving your enemies and stuff, so be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father is perfect. And what he's talking about is that a sign of maturity, a sign of a mature son of God, is in the way that you treat others. Amen. It's not the scriptures that you quote. Right. Well, thank you very much for all of that. I can tell that that's really ministering to y'all tonight. See, we won't come in here and be super spiritual and do all of that and what does God have for me and what's God saying to me and all of these kind of things. But at the end of the day, are we walking in the Spirit with our relationships in our family, with our relationships? You know, are we forgiving one another? Are we helping one another? Are we edifying one another? Is that our lifestyle? And so what I did is I made the decision, I'm going to start living this way. And so I'm not going to say anything to him, to my friend. I'm just going to start building him up, giving him grace. And when he had hit me with one of those hurtful zingers and one of those cut downs, I just didn't say anything. I didn't respond. But then I would find, hey, man, you know, I really appreciate this about you. Or I believe that you're going to do well in business this week. And so what happened is, I'm going to be honest with you. If you're watching by live stream, hopefully this ministers to you too. If you have had a lifestyle of negativity, of cutting people down, of just being judgmental and critical, even when it's joking, it takes some time for you to change, for you to turn that ship. The Bible talks about your tongue is like the rudder of a ship, and you've got to change the way you're speaking to begin to change the ship, the cruise ship of your life. I like to look at it that way. See, and you may not see an immediate response, an immediate change, but I'm telling you, when you make the decision that I'm just going to start talking positive, I'm going to start building people up, I'm going to start loving people, and you start speaking that into their lives. You know, some people say, you know what, I am just, you know, there's some people that's a half, you know, the glass is half full and the glass is half empty, and I'm a glass is half empty person. I'm a pessimistic person, and I've always been that way. It's just the way that I'm wired. Change the way you're wired. Don't blame it. You know, sometimes that's just because of the circumstances you grew up in or the environment you grew up in. And you just, it's learned behavior. We are transformed by the renewing of our mind. And if it says that we can always speak those things that build people up, then we have the capability to do it. So don't buy into the fact that there are just some optimists, some pessimists, you know, and it's just the way that we think and the way that we're wired. I was one way, and as I made the decision that I'm going to obey the Word of God and walk in the Spirit, it changed everything. And guess what? People started liking me more. People started wanting to be around me more. People start, why? Because I wasn't always tearing them down. I wasn't always cutting them down. I wasn't always looking at their faults. I was looking at who they were in Christ and began to build up. See? Otherwise, it hurts the relationship. So, people will give to us good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Somebody say running over. Good things all the time. Go back to Galatians 6. For he that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now let me talk to you about some personal sowing and reaping in your life. You get to make a choice every single day in what you're allowing to be sown into your life. Into what you are, into where your focus is. If you sit, as an example, Jacob kind of gave this testimony one time. He went to Caris and graduated from Caris Bible College. He was going three times a week, and on Tuesday night, Thursday night, and all day Saturday. And when he was going, he is sowing the Word of God into him, into him. Into him, sowing to his spirit, sowing to his spirit, sowing to his spirit, listening to the Word of God, focusing on the Word of God. Psalm 1 says, meditate in the Word of God day and night, and you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Boom, boom. And just feeding on that. And when you're feeding on that, guess what? You're really orienting your whole life to think according to the Spirit. And what are you reaping then? The life everlasting, rivers of living water. Why? Not just because you're sowing a seed that produces a harvest, but it's because now as you're listening to the Word and as you're focusing on that, you begin to live your life that way, and the walk of the Spirit produces the fruit of the Spirit in your life. When I sow good things to Shane, when I'm doing good to him because of our relationship, there's a harvest that I get out of the Spirit, life everlasting. I begin to receive out of the gift that's in him, and we have all these awesome conversations together. But you know, if I just was trying to relate to him in a natural way, or if our relationship, our friendship was just natural, you know, or if mine and Jess' relationship was, you know, hey, I'm ready for Auburn to whoop Alabama this year. I know. It's not a realistic possibility. I get that. He's dreaming, you know, but let's not even go there. But if our relationship was based on football, sports, all of this kind of stuff, then what? There's going to be strife. It's all going to be natural. And there's not going to be any life that comes from it. But what if I'm talking to him and our relationship is based on spiritual things, and we're building each other up, and I'm staying in the Word, and I'm focusing on the Word, and I want the life of God to flow into every area, into my finances. I want the life of God to flow into my marriage. I want the life of God to flow into my relationship with my children. I want the protection of God to flow all in my life. I want everything that comes out of the kingdom to flow and to be empowered and to flow and to be empowered and to flow and to be empowered. And there's rivers and rivers and rivers and rivers and rivers and rivers and rivers. And I just want that. How do I do that? I want to keep sowing to my spirit. That's going to be my focus. I'm going to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. But if I'm just sowing in the wrong things, the wrong attitudes, watching the news all the time, getting mad at the election, getting mad at political stuff, just feeding myself with worldly, fleshly stuff, and then that filters out into my relationship, what am I going to reap? I'm going to reap corruption. See? And so Jacob, here he is, he's going to Charis, man, and he comes out, graduates from Charis, you know, like Superman, like I can do anything. All things are possible to me who believes. I mean, I've got this word and let's take on the world and let's do all of that. But he was in a job at the time that he was surrounded with people of the world that just cussed all the time, that told dirty jokes, that was this, that was that. And he listened to that and heard that kind of stuff day in and day out, day in and day out. But he was not sowing to his spirit like he had been. And so what was he getting more of a harvest of? And so what he felt like was that his passion for the Lord, that being on fire, just didn't seem to be there in the same measure as it was while he was going to Charis. Why? He wasn't sowing. I love it that you're here on Wednesday nights. I love it that you're here on Sunday mornings. But Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings, while that's a blessing and we can come together, guys, you got to be sowing to your spirit. You got to live life in the spirit. You've got to walk in the spirit. You sow to the spirit by the word of God. The seed of the word of God is sown. But it says that the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things can enter in and choke the word. In other words, you can be sowing the word, but if you're still sowing other stuff into your life, that can actually, if you've got more of that seed operating in you, then it's going to choke the word that you're hearing on Sunday morning. Amen. Thank you for all those amens. In other words, seed time and harvest still works. We can talk about grace and we can talk about being in the kingdom and we can talk about all those things, but if we are not walking and living in the Spirit, we will not benefit from everything that is available to us. There are Christians that are miserable and have been their whole life because they are sowing to their flesh. They're sowing to their tradition. They're living out of an unrenewed mind. They're not living out of their spirit. They don't know that they can. Okay, I'm going to finish this out and then and then talk about a couple of things here. So, if I want to sow to the Spirit, I will reap of the Spirit life everlasting, verse 9. So, therefore, really is what he's saying, and let us not be weary in well-doing. He's never changed the subject. He's still talking about our lifestyle. He's still talking about the way we relate to others. Let us not be weary in doing what is right, in living in the Spirit. Why? For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Every time, so there's different ways of sowing to your spirit. You can sow the word in your heart, but also when you make a choice to do something, to love somebody, to forgive somebody, to have mercy on somebody, to have patience with somebody, to encourage somebody, every time you do that, you've just sowed a seed. Amen. In the spirit. So now I'm going to do good. I'm going to love my enemies. That's the walk in the Spirit. He says, keep doing it. Keep doing it. Live your life that way. Keep doing it. Edify. Build up. Forgive. Love. Be not weary. Don't be tired. Well, that person always does this to me. Don't be weary in well-doing. You know, they always cuss me out. Don't be weary in well-doing. You know, they always try to one-up me. Don't be weary in well-doing. They just get under my skin. Don't be weary in well-doing. You keep sowing. You keep sowing. You keep walking in the Spirit. You keep walking in the Spirit. Because in due season, you will reap if you won't faint. If you won't give up, if you won't cave in, if you won't quit. In other words, this isn't a one time, I'm going to try this once and let's just see if this works. This is a lifestyle that you've made a decision that I'm going to live my life in the Spirit. And I don't care if I don't see a change in my wife. I don't care if I don't see a change in my children or if I don't see a change in other family members. I am going to be this way, not because I'm trying to get a result from them, but because I am a child of the Most High God, and that's my nature. Amen. Does that make sense? I'm getting to that. The same with money. I'm going to close on the money thing. So therefore, let's keep this for a moment just in what the thought he's trying to get across. As we therefore have opportunity, every time we have opportunity, say opportunity.
Opportunity.
Let us do good unto all. When you have an opportunity to do good, take it. When you have an opportunity, do it. Every time you have opportunity, let us do good to all, and especially those that are the household of faith.
Amen.
In other words, don't just because people in the church are supposed to react nice to you doesn't give you the right to be ugly to them.
Amen.
Don't. You know, I don't know what I'm trying to say. Don't take advantage of their good nature. Especially, we should be treating each other, looking for opportunities to be a blessing to each other. Now, to finish this out, and then I'll go back and finish this thing on money. You see how large a letter I have written unto you with my own hand. Let me just get rid of a myth. And that is, this is not saying that Paul had an eye disease that was so bad that he had to write in these big, large letters so that they could see. Okay? If you received from a relative a letter the size of Galatians, you know, a 4 or 5 page letter, you would say, wow, this was a long letter. And so he's saying, look, I'm writing long letters to you. People come up with the stupidest things. That's the kind of stuff that's taught in seminaries. And you know, we call them cemeteries because that's where a lot of good Christians go to die. He says, "See how I've written unto you with my own hand, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh." Now he's going back to circumcision and living the law. They constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. And really, the whole point is they wanted to live under the law and try to force people to be circumcised and be that way so that they wouldn't have persecution. And so they were really concerned about what other people thought. And so a lot of times we'll go under the pressure of trying to keep a tradition or to do something a certain way just because of what other people think, when we really should have our own relationship with the Father and stand in the freedom. I've tasted of the goodness of God, and I'm not going back, man. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, because it's impossible, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. In other words, a lot of times people will try to get you to do things their way so that they can brag about what they've done. Yep. All right. I was going to tell a story, but I'm trying to get through to the end of this. So, you know, we've dealt with this enough. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. In other words, Paul was not boasting in the number of converts that he had. Paul wasn't boasting in you know, hey, look, check this out, guys. I mean, you know, I've planted this many churches and I've done this, and we have this many people coming to the church and all of this. He wasn't boasting in them. We're not boasting. We're not bragging. We're not bragging over what the Lord's done here at Life of Faith Church in the terms of that he's done it through us and we were so smart and we had such a great plan. Because God knows that's not true. God knows I have no idea how all this happened except to say yes to God. And so, you know, mine and Jennifer's thing is just over and over like, wow, look what the Lord's done. And what's it going to look like next year? Because we don't have a grand plan for what that's going to look like next year. We just, you know, and God's brought the most amazing people to this church, and we get to have relationship with all of you amazing people that we never had real relationship with. I mean, you know, for God to connect us with somebody from South Africa that thinks exactly like me, that's a miracle in and of itself. I didn't know there was another one like me in the world. But everything that we talk about, we're just like right in sync. Another pastor that we just get to flow together. Only God can do that. Amen. I can't brag on myself, and I'm not going to, and I wouldn't want to. I'm going to brag. I'm going to boast in the cross of Christ and who He's created me to be. And that is the only place for us to boast. Amen. Amen. And so really, you know, I'm not going to even boast in how small my small group is, Jeff, or how big your small group is, right? No, I'm just kidding. Jeff's got a great small group. I love it. As a matter of fact, I'm going to show up for that thing one day. I just thought I was going to let you know. It's going to be a lot of fun. We get to boast in the grace of God and in the love of God. Because check this out. The world is crucified to me. All of that's crucified to me. It's not that I die daily. It's not that I'm crucified daily. It's crucified. And I unto the world. It's a mindset. You have to see yourself. The world has no appeal to me. The world has no draw on me. I was talking to a Christian a businessman up in New Jersey. And he said, you know, he said, I just struggled. We just prayed for me. I said, why? He said, because there's a temptation that when I go in to make a sales to not be completely truthful about the sale, you know, so that I can get the sale because I can get the commission. And so I really struggle with that. That don't make no sense to me whatsoever. You struggle with telling the truth. You struggle. That's not your nature. Like, I don't go into, like, if I lose a sale because I told the truth, I'm going the kingdom route regardless, because my blessing isn't tied to the sale. My blessing is tied to my relationship with the Lord. The blessing is just on my life, and He's going to take care of me. And so the world is crucified to me, and I'm to the world. And so I just don't. And so the mindset isn't that I'm going to struggle, and sometimes I'm going to do wrong, and sometimes I'm going to do right. My mindset is I just do right. I'm righteous, so I do righteous things. Amen. For in Christ, verse 15, neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision. None of those things in the flesh matter at all. There's only one thing that avails. What I mean avail, it creates power. It has victory. It is effective in your life. And that is a new creature.
Amen.
Stop thinking about what I have to do to get this to happen. And start thinking about that you are a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. And you have to think like you're a new creation. You have to think out of that reality, because that's the only thing that's going to produce real results in your life. Amen.
Amen.
So as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them. To what rule? New creation. You live out of the new creation. That's right. That's good. We no longer look at people after the flesh, but after the Spirit. New creation. Say new creation. Say, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. That literally means like a new species. You are a new species that never existed before. And you are the only one like you. And all the junk is gone. All the old, all the weakness, all the mistakes, even all the genetic stuff, all of that is just gone because He came in and completely made you new. All of the addiction, gone. All of that. And so when I start thinking out of that and believing out of that, the new creation rises up. And so we just walk effortlessly in seed time and harvest. And as we live out of that, peace comes. Mercy, and upon the Israel of God. You are the spiritual Israel of God. From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. That was the persecution that he suffered. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. And see, so that just tells you right there, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Everything comes out of your spirit. The grace of God comes from the Spirit. And it also, the kingdom flow comes out of the Spirit. So if I want to access the grace of God and experience His grace, it's going to come out of the Spirit. And so I'll experience that as I live in the Spirit, as I walk in the Spirit, I'll experience the fruit of the Spirit. So I want to sow to the Spirit. Now, very quickly, let me deal with this thing on seed time and harvest and your money. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 says this, so it does apply. So there's two scriptures that I want to mention to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and in verse 6 says, "This I say," and he's talking about the grace to give and to give. "He which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly." So not only is what you sow important, but the quantity in which you sow is important. The attitude with which you sow it is important. Okay? And so if you sow with if you give with a very limited mindset, and I'm not saying that to say now you need to start doubling up on your giving or whatever, but it's your mindset. You know, I mean, God can tell you to give $100, and you can give that and try and you know, be sweating as you give it, or you can say, "Thank you, God, that I have the $100 to give." And so one's giving the $100, it's the same amount, but one's giving it sparingly, and one's giving it bountifully. Does that make sense? So how you give. It's a motivation of your heart. He that sows sparingly will reap also sparingly. You know, and that's just true in any garden. You sow a little seed, you're going to reap a little harvest. Every man according, but he that sows bountifully will reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart. It starts with how you're seeing yourself and how you're purposing in your heart. So let him give. Well, I'll just give if I feel like it. Well, then you're not, you haven't purposed. There's no purpose there. I said there's no purpose there. A farmer doesn't go out and just say, "You know what? Today I just feel like planting some seed."
That's right.
And then he gets in, and then he gets into harvest times like, "Where's my harvest?" You know, I mean, God, I planted seed when I felt led to. You know, there's no scripture that says give when you feel led to. You have to purpose. Remember how it also said over in Galatians 6, so when you have opportunity, every opportunity that presents itself to give or to be a blessing to people, to sow. Oh, and that comes into the areas of finances as well. And we're not talking about just giving to the church and giving to the ministry. Look, the church is blessed, guys. And so I used to stay away from this subject because I thought people would be, you know, their opinion would be, you know, well, he's just trying to get people to give, you know, to give money to the church. But I have an obligation and a duty to the Lord and a responsibility to teach you the truth of the Word of God. And I'm really tired of not talking about the things that I should be talking about and watching people stay the same in their financial situation. You know, and some of that can, you know, some of it I take responsibility for in the sense that these are not things that I talk about very much. But God sent a prophet to a widow woman that only had once more seed to give. Now, I'm not, you know, and the whole point, he had commanded the widow woman to give. And what happened is, as a result of her obedience, she was able to be sustained, her and her household, all the way through that famine.
That's right.
The supernatural blessing of God was on that constant supply. Okay? Now look at this. So every man according as he purposes in the heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. This is not about works. This is not about, well, I guess I need to sow a seed so I can get a harvest. No. It's a different thing. It's a mindset that I'm blessed. And what God has already blessed me with, I get to bless the church. I get to help the kingdom, expand the kingdom in the earth. I get to help others. I get to be a blessing to others. It's a completely different mindset. Abraham was blessed so he could be a blessing. He wasn't a blessing so that he could be blessed. And that's where we've kind of missed it in kind of our charismatic moves and Pentecostal moves, is we're trying to teach people to give to be blessed instead of starting from a standpoint of I am blessed and now I'm empowered to be a blessing to others. That changes everything. It's a walk in the Spirit. Now it's knowing that because I'm blessed, now I also have seed to sow. And seed time and harvest works. God, and he says, so God loves a cheerful giver. Now look at verse 8. God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Now God's in a position to make all grace. Why? Because grace comes out of the Spirit and you're living and walking in the Spirit. You have access to it, that you always having all sufficiency would abound to every good work. So see it this way. God abounds to you and you abound to others.
Right.
Not you abound to others and God abounds to you. Do you see that? We're going to finish this. I know it's a little bit later than I normally go, but I'm finishing this tonight. So give me 5 more minutes. Because this will transform your finances. This will transform your thinking. You start from a standpoint, God, thank you for abounding towards me. And since I know that I'm blessed, just like Abraham was blessed, and you've blessed me in Jesus Christ, now I will give purposefully. I will purpose. Some of you need to start being intentional about what you're giving. I will be a blessing. I will have a bountiful eye. I will know that I'm blessed, and so I can be a blessing to others. And I thank you, Lord, for that. And so now, because that, he's abounded towards me. Now I can abound, as is written, verse 9, he is dispersed abroad. He is given to the poor. His righteousness remains forever. All of that comes out of a bountiful eye, or the one that is already blessed. That's Psalms 112, verse 9. And actually, if you read all of 112, it talks about the generation of the upright. It talks about those that follow God's commands. He is already blessed, and so he just disperses to the poor. That means you're not the poor one. His righteousness remains forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower. Now he that ministers seed to the sower. Recognize that a portion of what you come in, that comes into you from your work, what people give to you, whatever that is seed.
That's right. That's right. Come on, Mark.
It is seed. 100% of what you have isn't for you to consume. Because if you consume it just upon yourself, you consume it on your own natural desires, you are sowing to your flesh. So I'm going to say something here that maybe I hope you give me the grace to say it. And if you don't agree with it, just give me grace anyway. But if I have $100 and I take that and recognize everything that's happened isn't because I worked for it, it's because the Lord's blessed me with it. In some way or another, he's given me the talent, the education, the ability, the favor on the job, and all of that to get it. So I, first of all, have to recognize that it came from the Lord. Now, if I take that $100 And I purpose in my heart that I'm going to give 10% of everything that comes in. We'll just use that tithe percentage for a moment. Then that's awesome. There's 10% of it that I am now sowing to the kingdom. I'm sowing because I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm sowing to the Spirit. I will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. I'm in the flow where the kingdom is operating in my finances, is in my relationships, it's all over the place because I've made a decision that there's seed that I've got to sow that I'm going to reap. Now, it's not just about reaping more money so that I can sow more, but it's about also stewarding what the Lord has given me, because the more that I'm faithful and I steward, then God can entrust more to me. But what if I take all $100 and say, I'm going to take that $100 and this week I'm going to buy a new cell phone with it. Or I'm going to buy some new clothes with it. And because I'm going to just, you know, or I just want to go out to eat, you know, and go to a fine restaurant with it and take my wife out. You know, and we get to church on Sunday, and just using this as an example, guys, I'm not being legalistic about it, so please understand my heart. What have I done? I have just taken that 10% that should be my seed, and now I've just sowed it to my flesh. And so out of the flesh, I'm just going to reap corruption. I'm just now living in a natural world, experiencing natural things because I'm not living in the Spirit. I'm not walking out to the Spirit when it comes to my finances. Don't compartmentalize your walk in the Spirit. What do I mean by that? Don't just choose your marriage and say, now I'm going to walk in the Spirit here, but I'm not going to walk in the Spirit in this area. And I'm going to, it needs to be in every area of your life. And in the things of the kingdom, what you do with your money really determines where your priority is. He that is faithful in the unrighteous mammon to steward it according to the way that God says to will also be faithful in all the other areas. See? And so it says, he that ministers seed to the sower both ministers bread for your food, and he multiplies your seed sown and increases the fruits of your righteousness. So there's a spiritual connection with what's going on with your money. That whole chapter is talking about giving. And then finally, he told the Philippians, he said, I thank God that you are giving and that you're receiving and that you're helping me. And you guys sowed to my needs and my wants more than anybody else. But I'm telling you all of this about seed time and harvest and about God will supply all of your needs. Not that I desire a gift. I'm not telling you this because I want you to give me more money or I want you to take care of me. I'm telling you this that fruit may abound to your account. As you sow, and as you help, and as you make a decision, here's part of, this represents part of my life, and this is my seed, that it actually has something that goes on in heaven. There's rewards that happen in heaven. There's all kinds of things. You are laying up, Jesus said, treasure in heaven. You are laying up things in heaven, and so the fruits of your righteousness begin to be increased. It's just the law of seed time and harvest. Go ahead and stand with me, please, and I probably need to do more teaching on this or better teaching on this. I hit you guys with a lot of stuff, and please don't think that last week and this week was just about sowing money and stuff, because it actually is for every area of your life. This law of sowing and reaping, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. But be purposeful. Be purposeful with your words to other people. Be purposeful with your finances. Be intentional with how you treat others. Be intentional about your walk of the Spirit in every area of your life. Father, we just give you praise right now. Lord, we just glorify you. We thank you, Father, for the 21 weeks that we've gone through the book of Galatians and how it practically affects every area of our life, how it practically will change what we experience from the Spirit. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, that as we are bountiful, as we sow, and as we look to, you know, how much we're sowing to our flesh versus sowing to our spirit, you know, that we can just live life out of the Spirit all of the time.
Yes.
Experience the fruit of the Spirit in every area. Experience your favor. Experience your blessing. Experience your grace that is in our spirits, Father. And that is available to us. And that, Father, that your heart and your desire is for us not to live in any area of our life according to the natural, according to our flesh. And that's particularly true even in the area of our finances, that we would not live and let our flesh dictate how we operate. But we'll be intentional to operate from the area of what the Spirit of God says and from what the Word of God says. Father, we just thank you for revelation for this. We thank you. And we'll stand fast in the liberty. We'll stand fast in the liberty with which Christ has made us free. And Father, even in the area of finances, we will not... I just want to encourage you, don't take anything that I said tonight and allow condemnation to come. And don't take anything that I said tonight as a, being, you know, legalistic or a work in the sense that, well, I guess I better do this better. No, it's about right motivation. It's about the right heart. It's about intentionally deciding I'm going to live in the Spirit in this area. I'm going to live in the Spirit in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let's just lift our hands to the Lord for just a moment. Thank you, Father. We receive that now. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for ministering to each and every one of us. We just glorify you. We just thank you. We thank you for revelation in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And I'll say what Paul said, and may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirits. May the peace of God, may the peace of God that passes all understanding right now keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. May the flow of heaven and may the flow of His abundant grace and the rivers of living water be manifest right now in your life. Begin to rise up from your spirit man and begin to flow into every area right now. Let's just take a moment. Thank you, Father. Come on, just commune with the Lord right now. Just receive, just receive, just receive. There's a yielding, there's a yielding, there's a yielding, there's a yielding. You get to decide where you're going to yield to, whether it's the flesh or the spirit. There's a yielding. Yield, 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 yield. Let the Spirit flow through you. Pray in the Spirit. Let words of grace now to be your language from now on. Your language to build others up. You are sowing seeds of the Spirit, seeds of wholeness, seeds of healing into people's lives every time that you minister words that build up, minister the love of God to others, minister things that when they put themselves down, you don't agree with them and you don't see them that way, but you build them up. You lift them up. We are to lift up. We are to lift up. We are to lift up. Father, we just thank you. We receive that. We thank you, Father, for a renewed mind and for the walk in the Spirit and the freedom. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yes, Lord, I'll say that. From this night forward, see yourself. I said it earlier, but God wants me to reemphasize. See Eden in you. That you are the Garden of Eden walking. You are the kingdom of God walking.